All right, be finding Psalm 23. Today we're going to be concentrating on Psalm 23, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Over in the Middle East, a shepherd will rise up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and he'll take his sheep out before the sun comes up while there's still some coolness in the air. And they'll begin to browse, not graze, cattle graze. They wrap their tongues around that tall grass and pull up. That's grazing. But sheep have these close incisors, and they'll come and cut close to the ground. They'll browse on that dew-laden grass. And then about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, the sun's starting to get really hot over there. And so he'll lead the sheep to some kind of shade, whether it's some shrubs or under a rocky outcropping or somewhere. And they'll rest in that shade, and for about 3 or 4 hours, the sheep will begin to chew the cud. And it's during that time that the sheep grows the fastest. It's when the wool begins to grow faster. And every good shepherd knows that his sheep have to have a quiet time. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, I want to talk to you today about how to deal with stress. Is stress ever a problem for you? Do you find yourself all stressed up with nowhere to go? You know, I think some people today almost think it's wrong to get still and be quiet. A lady called her pastor up one Tuesday morning, and she said, "Pastor, I tried to call you all day yesterday, and I couldn't get a hold of you." And he said, "Madam, Monday was my day off." She said, "Well, the devil never takes a day off." And he said, "And if I didn't, madam, I would be just like him." God wants his sheep to learn how to get quiet and to lie down in green pastures and to drink from still waters. Did you know sheep don't like, and some will even refuse, to drink from fast-moving, gurgling, rushing water? They like the still pools of water. Let me talk to you about how to handle stress. Over in Psalm 100 in verse 3, it tells us that we are the sheep of his pastures. Now, folks, that's really not a compliment. It's just a description. I have a rancher friend who says, "You know, I'm kind of offended that the Lord calls us sheep. I'm a rancher." He said, "We call sheep prairie maggots." And he said, "You know, sheep are just, they're not the smartest animals around. Matter of fact, they're just overloaded with dumb." He said, "Well, I don't know why the Lord's calling me a sheep. I'm pretty smart. I graduated at the top of my class." Well, you have to understand, he's not talking about intellectually smart. He's talking about the spiritual realm here. You remember the story of Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a master in Israel. He was a Pharisee. He was highly, highly educated. And yet, Jesus said in John 3:10, "As a master in Israel, you don't know these things?" He was intellectually up there, but he was spiritually ignorant. Romans chapter 3 and verse 11 says, "There is none that understandeth, no, not one." So in the spiritual realm, like it or not, we're like sheep. Not only are sheep dumb, they're defenseless. You know, a horse can run, a lion can bite, a bear can claw, a snake can strike. A skunk, well, you know what a skunk can do. But as a sheep, the sheep have weak muscles. They've got poor eyesight. They've got poor hearing. They're just pretty defenseless. And the Bible speaks about a lamb headed for the slaughter. A sheep needs somebody to come along and defend them. And that's the way we are. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, it says that our sufficiency is in God. Sheep also have a poor sense of direction. They're easily lost. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have what? Gone astray. A sheep will browse here and nibble there, and he doesn't know he's getting farther and farther away from the shepherd and farther away from the flock. And, you know, it's bad enough that he's lost. And he just can't find his way back home. You know, a cow will come back to the barn. A horse will return to the stable. And have you ever tried to get rid of a cat? You may have heard of a homing pigeon, but you've never heard of a homing sheep. They have to be sought. They have to be brought. That's just the nature of sheep. Well, what did God say about his people in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 7? And my people are bent to backsliding from me. We have a tendency, a bent, to get away from God. There's the dumbness of the sheep. There's the defenselessness of the sheep. But then there's also the dependence of the sheep. He needs somebody to take care of him. Sometime, if you're a sheep herder, you'll get what's called a cast sheep. C-A-S-T, a cast sheep. He gets over on his back and he can't get back up again. And when he's there on his back with his feet up in the air, he's open to predators. The wolf can come, the vulture can come, and not only that, but gases begin to build up inside that sheep when he's cast, and pretty soon the gases get built up so much that they start cutting the circulation off, and that sheep can die. When a sheep is cast, the shepherd has to come put the sheep back on his feet. Has he ever done that for you when you were down and couldn't get up? Put you back on your feet. Thank God for the shepherd. Because we, like sheep, have a tendency to be stressed. So how do you handle stress? Well, verse 2 has a lot to say about this. Let me remind you. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So first I want you to see the security that we have in the shepherd. It says, he leadeth me. He maketh me. Who is he? Well, it's the one we talked about last week, Jehovah. And remember, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now, let me give you some characteristics of the shepherd. First of all, there's compassion. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. So Jesus saw the people of his day. They were scattered. They were running to and fro. They were complaining. They were full of stress. And it says he was moved with compassion. That word moved, it's not what you think. It literally means he was convulsed. It has the idea of being sick to your stomach. And the word compassion, it's a compound word, com, C-O-M, meaning with. Passion, meaning to feel or to suffer. So with feeling or with suffering. He's moved with suffering. He's convulsed at the sight of the sheep with no shepherd. That's what caused him to leave heaven and come down here and die for us on the cross. But he not only has compassion, he has care. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11 says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm young." Aren't you glad the good shepherd gives us what we need instead of what we deserve? Baby lambs get saved and join the church. They don't hardly know anything. Some of them come here almost out of sheer paganism. And Jesus picks them up and cares for them. But Jesus is also a courageous shepherd. In John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeing the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Folks, the wolves and the bears and the lions and the wild dogs, they're all after you and I, the sheep. A false shepherd, one who's like a hireling, paid by the hour. A hireling will flee, but the good shepherd stays and fights for the sheep. There was a time when Jesus said, "I must needs go to Jerusalem." And his disciples said, "Lord, don't go there. It's dangerous down there." And it says he set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. The great courage of the shepherd in the face of danger. You may be weak like a sheep, but you have a compassionate, caring, and courageous shepherd. In John 10, verse 7, Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." The shepherd becomes the door. If you were here 2 weeks ago when we were having our study with Dr. Vanderlaan, he showed us a sheepfold. It's a pile of stones to make a fence about 2-3 foot high all around. There's a building that has what we call a manger inside, and there's about a 3-foot gap in that stone fence called the door. But what happens, the shepherd, he'll get all of the sheep inside the sheepfold, and he counts them as they come in. And when he's got the proper count, the shepherd lays across that opening. He literally becomes the door, and nothing can come in or get out unless the shepherd allows it. I want you to get that picture. Jesus saying, "Nobody or nothing can get to you without going through me first." Now, the number one thing that you need to handle stress is security. He maketh me. He leadeth me. I may be weak like a sheep, but he's strong like a shepherd. Now, not only do I see security to help me deal with stress, I also see sufficiency. It says, "He maketh me to lie down in brown, withered pastures." Is that what it says? He leads me beside muddy streams. Is that what it says? No. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. That's why I went to school at OSU. He leadeth me beside still water. Not Norman, still water. Why do we get stressed? Well, we get stressed because we think our needs aren't going to be met. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. That's food. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear. That's fashion. You know, food, friends, fame, fortune, fashion, that's what people worry about. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:32, for after all those things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. He knows you have need of all those things. And when he says Gentiles there, he's talking about lost folks. Now, he's not saying that those things are unimportant. He says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all those things will be added unto you. Those things don't even have significance until you have your deepest need met. So what's he talking about when he talks about green grass and still waters? You think he's talking about having your bank full of green? Look at Psalm 22, verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. Well, what do they eat? Read the rest of the verse. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. They eat praise. That's their food. Psalm 22, verse 29. And they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and what's the next word? Worship. Praise and worship. That's your food. God wants healthy sheep. He's talking about the green pastures of his word. He's talking about the still waters of his spirit. And if you don't find your satisfaction in him, you're going to be stressed. The deepest needs of your heart have to be met in him. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but upon every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible is to you what bread is to the natural man. Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The word blessed means happy or content or satisfied. How many people do you know today who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness? I dare say it's very few. How many people do you know who hunger for the green pastures of his word and for the still waters of his Holy Spirit? Not many. How many happy people do you know? Not many. He doesn't say, blessed are those who seek after blessedness. He doesn't say, happy are those who seek for happiness. He says, happy are those who seek after righteousness. Did you know that the most unhappy people in the world are those who are trying to be happy? I don't know how many times you've ever vacationed in a resort or on a cruise ship or in some resort environment, but if you ever go on vacation at some resort next time, I want you to sit down and be quiet for a minute and start looking at the crowd. The most miserable people on the face of the earth are in resorts. Mark my word, you go look. The happiest people are the folks that are working down at the, we used to call them filling stations, where they're working somewhere where they enjoy what they're doing. You know, there was a guy, my dad had a grocery store when we were growing up. We had a guy that we knew in the grocery store. He graduated from MIT, most prestigious school on the East Coast probably. You know, you're usually a engineer or mathematician or something like that. He graduated with honors from MIT. You know how I met him? He delivered seal test milk to our store. Graduated from MIT. When he graduated from MIT, he went to work for some petroleum company and sat in an office, and he said he was the most miserable person on earth. Delivered milk to our store. He was the milkman. And he was the most jolly, happy guy you ever wanted to meet. You know why? Happiness is something you'll never find by looking for it. Happiness is something you stumble over on your way to serve Jesus. Happiness is the byproduct of righteousness. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the righteousness of God, then these things will be added to you." Unhappiness comes from self-centeredness and sin. God has engineered it so that you cannot be happy without Jesus. That's why God said to Adam and Eve, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake." Not for your judgment. Cursed is the ground for your sake. What did he mean? He says, "Thorns and thistles shall the ground bring forth for your sake." God wants your past to be full of thorns. Here's why. The absolute worst thing that could ever happen to us who have this sin-diseased heart is for us to live in paradise. Then we'd never know anything was wrong. Right? God gives us thorns, and he gives us thistles, and he gives us heartaches so that we'll say, "Hey, there's something wrong in this world." What's wrong is sin. And the answer to that is righteousness. And most people are trying to get rid of the thorns and thistles instead of the problem that caused the thorns and thistles in the first place. When Becky and I were working in Haiti, we were working with a group of doctors down there. Two doctors, Dr. Beeler, he was from Oklahoma City. He was an experienced mission doctor. He'd been on many, many mission trips. Been many trips to Haiti. And then we had another doctor. I won't mention his name. It's his first trip. Well, the people would line up to see the doctor. Becky would sort medicine. I'd be out witnessing to people standing in line waiting to see the doctor. And over, thousands of times, we heard the same symptoms. People would come in, doctor would say, "What's wrong?" "I have vat femel, l'estomac femel, la grippe." Headache, vat femel. Stomach ache, l'estomac femel, la grippe. So the inexperienced doctor, he'd treat vat femel, give him something for a headache. He'd treat l'estomac femel, he'd give him something for stomach ache. He'd give him something for la grippe, the cough. About midweek, we're running out of medicine. Dr. Beeler has to go out and find us another 10,000 pill canister of medicine. But see, when they came to see Dr. Beeler and said, "We have va femel, astomas, femel, la grippe, and ve." You know what ve is? Worms. We did a 10,000 pill canister of worm medicine. And instead of giving something for headache, stomach ache, cough, he'd give them medicine for the worms, and all the rest of the stuff would go away because that's what was causing the headache, the stomach ache, and the cough, the worms. Do you see my point here? Doctors are doing the same thing today. They're going to give you medicine to kill the pain. They're going to give you medicine to reduce the fever, but they don't ever treat the infection that's causing all of that. People are trying to be happy. When they're doing that, they're trying to treat symptoms. If you seek after righteousness, you're dealing with the infection. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The deepest need of your heart is to worship God, to feed on the Spirit. And in Matthew 4:4, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In Jesus we have security. In Jesus we have sufficiency. In Jesus we also have serenity. He maketh me to lie down. Sheep won't lie down until they're content. You ever been on any of these highways out here? People are going zoom, zoom, zoom that way. They're going zoom, zoom, zoom that way. Why don't those people just stay over there and those people just stay over there? You're taking your life in your hands as soon as you get on the interstate. They're all in a hurry. Where are they going? When they first started testing the F-22 fighter jet, which I think is the greatest airplane ever built, they would fire the rockets off the wing of that thing, but the F-22 was so fast, it would outrun the rocket it had just fired, and then that rocket would start chasing it. True story. I know people who are shooting themselves down. They won't slow down and be still and know that God is God. They don't have any serenity. Folks, listen to me. It is not a sin to sit still and be quiet. It's a sin not to. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. When a sheep, I told you earlier when we started this, when a sheep's lying down, that's when he's the most productive. He's chewing his cud. A sheep has a second stomach. You know, he's spent the early part of the morning filling his stomach with grass and sweet clover and things like that. He's loading up. And then when the shepherd says, lie down and digest what you've already got, the sheep brings that back up out of that one stomach, begins to chew on it and digest it and taste it. That's when the sheep's growing the fastest. The most productive time for the sheep is during the quiet time. And if the green grass is the word of God, what's the sheep doing when it's chewing its cud? It's meditating. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. In his law doth he meditate day and night. There's so many verses about meditation. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Psalm 104, verse 34. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy way. See, the problem is most of us won't ever lie down and meditate in that green grass of the Word. How much time do we really take to digest and assimilate the Word that God has given to us? Most of us think we do God some kind of a wild favor when we just show up here on Sunday morning at church. But when you get home, do you really meditate on what you've heard? When you study God's Word in the morning, do you really have a quiet time? Do you keep a spiritual journal? Listen, if you expect God to speak to you, don't you think you ought to have a pencil ready to write down what he says? If you don't have time to do that, you're too busy and you need to reorder your life. John 10:10, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You're liable to miss life looking for it. Been to a lot of graduations and baccalaureate speeches, and I've heard these speakers tell young people, go out here and make all the money you can, just as long as you make it honestly. That's about the dumbest advice I've ever heard anybody give a young person. If you're out there making all the money you can, you're going to be making money when you should be doing other things, like spending time with your family, like meditating on the Word of God, like helping the poor, like doing this or that, like our Sunday school talked about this morning. You'll be making money when you ought to just lay down and be quiet. Some of us won't lay down until he makes us lie down. Take it from me. If this is experience talking, it's a lot better for you to just lay down than to have him make you lay down. David said in Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I've kept thy word. In other words, if I'd have kept the word in the first place, I wouldn't have been afflicted. Why don't you just do it yourself instead of having the Lord make you do it? Just be still. A distressed sheep's not producing wool, he's not producing fat, he's not producing lambs. The shepherd makes the sheep lie down because he loves the sheep and he wants them to be healthy and doing what sheep are supposed to do. If you're stressed, you can find your security in the good shepherd. You can find your sufficiency in the green pastures of the Word of God. And you can find in him your serenity when he makes you to lie down. Let me ask you something. Can you truly and honestly say that Jesus is your good shepherd today? Are you all stressed up with nowhere to go? Our musicians are going to come. They're going to prepare for an invitation time. And listen, I don't know how to cover that subject any differently. I'm just telling you, some of you better learn how to slow down. Some of you better start meditating on the Word of God. Because you're never going to be happy. You're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to be content. You're never going to be productive. You're never going to do what God made you to do until you sit still and be quiet. Listen to the Spirit now. What do you need to do? What are we going to sing, Gary?
349.
Let's stand. And if you need to come, and maybe you just need to spend some time at the altar. Maybe you need to commit yourself to seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness today. I don't know what he's asking you to do. All I can do is say, please be obedient to whatever it is he's asking you to do. And you come as we sing.
Mold me and make. Father, we thank you for the message today. We thank you for your word, and thank you that you give us rest and peace. You bring us into green pastures and lead us by still waters. Help us, Lord, to do that, to be cooperative with you when you're leading us, and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join hands as we dismiss.
We are one in the bond of love. We are one. Joined as spirits with the Spirit.